Bibles with us this morning into 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we just ask you to be much in prayer for those aren't able to be out this morning. There is still a lot of folks sick, a lot of going on. And you talk to different ones and it's going through their families. And we just know that God is able. I ask you to pray for Brother Charles and his granddaughter Zoe. And he's down visiting her at Johns Hopkins this morning and said he would probably be here tonight, but just pray for Zoe. I think he said they may let her out this week, and we have asked her to come to a revival this weekend, and I believe if she'll come, God will minister to her heart. Amen. I know he'll minister to her, and if she'll open her heart and let him come in, he wants to be there. Amen. And he wants to minister there. He wants to do what needs to be done to help her to find peace and comfort in her life. So be much in prayer. And then just keep other folks in prayer. You know those on our prayer list. And keep them. And then I had a message, email the other day from some folks. They go to another church. And the man just said they don't have a pastor right now. And they asked us to remember him and his wife in prayer. Remember their marriage. They're struggling. They don't have a pastor in their church. They don't feel there's anybody that they can go to. And just wanted to know that we would pray for him. He just wanted some godly people praying. And I told him I would ask my church to pray. Amen. I want you to pray for him. You don't need to know. God knows all about it. Amen. All you need to know is that God knows the need, and just pray for them. And you know, I tell you what, God can work miracles, and God still takes care of marriages. He still takes care of sickness. He still takes care of broken hearts. He still takes care of all of it. Amen. And I'm glad this morning that he does. If you found, you got your Bibles this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Yes, pray for Gus too. He had knee surgery this week and recovering from that. And just lift him up in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. If you find it, just go ahead and stand to your feet as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but also by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and this, his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Amen. "Wherefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul is writing a fairly lengthy letter to the Corinthian church, and 1 Corinthians is the longest letter that he has written. And the 15th chapter is the longest part, the longest portion of that letter. And he's dealing with some problems that they're having with disbelief, with questions that are arising. And, you know, in every generation and every time, there's always a group, there's always a bunch, there's always some that are raising up and trying to deny the validity and the truth of the gospel message. Amen? In our day, they're at it abundantly, they're at it tenaciously, and they're at it on every avenue and every way they can, and it's their desire to remove Christ from our world and to remove Christ from our mind. They don't mind you believing a God. Amen. Because there's all kinds of gods, and as long as you believe in their God, and this one can believe in their God, and that one can believe in their God, it's all right. But they take an offense to the name of Christ, amen. They take offense to the message of the gospel that all are sinners and need salvation, and the only means of salvation is in Jesus Christ. And there were those within the Corinthian church that started to heed and started to listen and started to hear the things that were being said by others and were contemplating whether or not these things are true, whether or not truly there is a resurrection, whether or not truly there's a bodily resurrection. There's different means, there's different ways that people think about. And some say, well, there's going to be a resurrection of the spirit, but the body is going to be dead just like every other body is going to be dead. Praise God, I'm glad we sow these bodies into the ground, a corrupted and corruptible seed, a corruptible body. But praise God, the Bible says that one day this body is going to be raised incorruptible, amen, without sin and without hindrances, that we know that it might be able to dwell and live in the glory world with the glorious God and for His glorious purpose and presence. We're reminded this morning that in everything and in every way that we can always go back to the Word of God and find the truth. And that's what Paul has done here. In these first few verses of chapter 15, Paul begins to expound upon the things that were, the things that was, and the things that help us come to the saving knowledge. If you come back tonight, I'm going to preach further on down in this passage of Scripture the what ifs that are raised in the Word of God. There's a whole lot of what ifs. And that little word if carries a whole lot of weight in the Word of God. Amen. As we were studying in the adult class this morning, that little word if is right there. If we continue, there's a great responsibility on our part. That word if says a whole lot, and it says a whole lot to us tonight. If you'll come back, and God don't change my heart and my mind in what I'm preaching. But now I want to preach to you on what was given us, what we have that we can go back to, what we have that we can stand on, what we have that we can find assurance in, what we have that we can build upon, what we have that anchors us into Jesus Christ and helps us to realize that the truth of His Word is unerring. Paul begins in the first four verses, and he tells us about the preeminence of the message of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel. Praise God. That's what we're here for. We're here to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the good news. Amen. What's the good news? That we were destined to go to hell, but Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again for our justification. Amen. And in trusting in Him, we have hope of eternal salvation. That's the good news of the gospel. We're not here to preach about abortion. Paul said, I preach the gospel. Amen. We're not here to preach about social issues and social ills, although we do mention them because they affect us in our Christian life at times. We're here to preach the gospel. Amen. And Paul said, that's what I preached. You want to see people get saved, they need to hear the gospel. Now, you want to see people become good moral characters and maybe good citizens and have a good social testimony in the world, then you can preach to them social issues. But praise God, that's not what I'm here for. Jesus said we need to preach the gospel and be instant in season and out of season in preaching the gospel. Amen. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless... There's another one in prepositions. Ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul says sometimes we need to go back. That's why we need to be in the house of worship on Sundays and every opportunity that we can. Paul said, now look, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. What's he saying? He said, I'm reminding you again. We need to be reminded. Amen. Sister Mary sings the song. Me and my wife sing it. Remind me, Lord. Remind me. I tell you what. We're very forgetful. We're very prone to go our way and forget just what God has done for us. Paul said, I'm preaching to you the gospel that I've already preached to you before. It's the same message in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, and brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's message is always the same. Paul's message is always proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And one day Jesus is coming again. Amen. Praise God. That's what we're to preach. And that's what we're about. Look, he says, I declare unto you the gospel. You've already heard it. You need to, a reminder, you need to hear it again. He said, it's the saving message by the which you are saved. Praise God. You're saved if you keep in memory. You're saved if you believe this. You're saved if you accept this. It's a saving message. I thank God that he didn't give me some social message to preach, but praise God, I have a saving message. I don't have something that won't last, but praise God, I got a message that'll help you. I got a message that'll sustain you. I got a message that'll take you through eternity. Amen. 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 And nobody else has that. Amen. Amen. The Buddhists don't have it. Amen. The Muslims don't have it. Amen. Amen. The atheists don't. The atheists ain't got no song. You ever heard that? There's a song. Go look it up on Steve Martin. Isn't it? Yes, who's that comedian, Steve Martin, isn't it? Yeah, go look it up on the internet. The atheists ain't got no song. Why ain't they got a song? Because they ain't got no hope. Hey, man, why ain't they got no hope? Because they ain't got no message. Hey, man, all they got's what's here. And this is all there is for them. But praise God, we got a saving message. And Paul said it's a sweet message. In verses 3 and 4, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. Praise God. Nobody else was willing to do what my God was willing to do. Amen. Nobody else was willing to die like my God was willing to die. Nobody else was willing to give themselves for me like my God was willing to give himself for me. Praise God. There's not a sweeter message. There's not a sweeter song. There's not a sweeter name. There's not a sweeter thing that can be said than what the gospel tells us, that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose the third day according to the Scripture. Praise God. In verse number 3, he died for our condemnation because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and he took upon him the sins of all humanity. He died in my place. He took my condemnation. He died for my sins. But the Bible says, praise God, in verse number 4, that he rose again. Romans 6, Romans 4, 25, it says he rose for my justification. Amen. Amen. He died because I was condemned to sin. But he rose again. Amen. To prove that he was the acceptable sacrifice for my sin. See, it's easy to die. We all die. Amen. Any man can die. But not every man can come to life again. Not any man can take his life. He said, I lay my life down and I take it up again. Amen. They didn't come to revive him. They didn't come and resuscitate him. They didn't come and renew him. He was dead. He was so dead there was no help for him in anything that earth had to offer. Amen. He was dead to the point that he was made, he was in the hands of professionals to make sure that he died. Amen. And even when they knew that he had already died, they gave a double assurance because they thrust a spear into his side. And the Bible says the blood and the water run out. The two things your body cannot live without. He was dead. Now, he wasn't swooned. He didn't pass out. He couldn't be resuscitated. He was dead. He said, if I lay my life down. And then he said, and I take it up again. Amen. Amen. It wasn't nobody resuscitating him. Wasn't no CPR going to help him. Wasn't no modern medicine still couldn't do a thing to help him. Modern medicine still can't bring a dead man back to life. Amen. Someone who has truly died, someone who's truly gone on, someone to whom the Spirit of God has truly gone, someone who's met God's appointment. Amen. Modern medicine and modern man cannot bring him back to life. The only one that can bring life back to that body is the one who is the giver of life, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Boy, what a sweet message. The gospel message. It's the preeminent message. But we also have a powerful witness. Over in Hebrews it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Look at what he said here in verses 5 to 9. He said, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born at a due season. Praise God. He said, for I am the least of the apostles, am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I want you to know something. There's a witness about us. He went back into Hebrews in chapter 11. He began to go down the roll call of faith. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Enoch that had walked with God. Moses and Noah and the others who had laid down their lives and had lived their lives on the promise of God's word and in the hope of what God had established and what God had said, and the untold multitudes who had been tortured and died for the cause of standing for God and standing for Christ. We have a witness, but praise God, the witness is still there. The witness is still around. Look around you in this church. There are folks who are addicted to drugs who've been set free. Amen. There are folks who have been addicted to alcohol who've been set free. There are folks who are addicted to sex, and God has set them free. There are folks who are addicted to the allurements of sin, and praise God, he's set them free. There are witnesses all around you if you only look to see them, if you only want to hear them. Amen. Amen. But look, he said, we have a witness. We have the scripture witness. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Praise God. I'm glad we have the Word of God that doesn't lie. I'm glad we have the Word of God that's a scriptural, a spiritual, a written, a record of what's happened. It's written down. It's recorded. It's unerring. It's unchanging. And it's undeniable because it cannot be proved to be wrong. Men have set out to prove it wrong, but the scripture witness, praise God, will stand up against any litmus test that you could put it against. It always has. It always will. It's still the most published book that's ever been published. It's still the most sold book that's ever been sold. It's still the most desired book that's ever been desired. There are places in this world today where they would clamor for just a few pages of this word. Amen. Amen. Nothing ever been like it. Look at what he said in verse number 5. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Praise God, Peter has a spiritual record. Now, you can go back in the Gospels, and the Bible doesn't say that he appeared first to Cephas, but it says right here that he did. He appeared unto Cephas, which is Peter, and then the 12. Amen. You know what's so amazing about that? The last time that Christ had seen Peter was as Peter had denied him for the third time. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at him when Peter had denied him with cursings. Peter had denied him with the words so strong that those gathered around had to believe and had to just accept the fact that this man couldn't possibly have been with Jesus because look at the way he's cursing. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at Peter and the cock crew the third time. The last time Jesus had seen Peter, the last time Jesus had been in the presence of Peter, Peter had denied him. But praise God, the Bible says he, right here, says he appeared unto Cephas, appeared unto Peter, and then the 12. Isn't it amazing that the one who had denied him was the one he appeared to first? It wasn't John, the beloved the apostle, the beloved disciple, who followed him all the way to Calvary and who was standing at the foot of the cross. It wasn't John who leaned on his bosom as he was eating that last meal, wondering who the deceiver and who the one that was selling out was. It wasn't John, the one who describes himself all through the book of John as that disciple whom Jesus loved. It wasn't he who he appeared to first, but he was appearing to the one who had the greatest condemnation on his heart and his life. He appeared to Peter, who had denied him first. Whew, what a sweet, sweet story. What a sweet witness. They said Charles Ingersoll, the 19th century atheist, Colonel Charles Ingersoll, would hold rallies around America and would try to gather the masses to prove that God was not alive and prove that God did not exist and try to convince and sway the multitudes into believing the atheist lie. And in one particular meeting, as he was standing, he said, if there is a God, and if God is real, I dare him to strike me dead in the next 5 minutes. And for 5 minutes, he stood there in silence as people watched their watches and their clocks. And after the 5 minutes had exhausted, he said, see, I told you there is no God. For if there had been a God, surely he would have struck me dead when I condemned him and denied him and challenged him to do so. A little old lady stood up in the crowd, said, pointed her finger and said, sir, I want you to know something. That you can't exhaust the grace of God in 5 minutes, in 5 years, or in 500 years. You haven't proved a thing that my God is still the gracious God that He always was and will still save souls. Amen. Amen. I want you to know something this morning. Christian, I don't care how bad you failed Him. He'll restore you. Christian, I don't care how bad you've fallen. He'll restore you. Amen. And I tell you what, you're looking at one here that's fell many a time. And I can give you the witness that he's picked me up. He appeared unto Cephas and then the 12. All of the apostles have given account of seeing Jesus alive after he resurrected. As a matter of fact, they have all laid down their lives. They've all staked their lives on the very fact that Jesus lived. Charles's granddaughter, Zoe, she said she was an atheist. And when we was down visiting with her, I said, let me ask you something, Zoe. And Ron, tell you, I said, let me ask you something. I said, the Bible tells us that these disciples believed in Jesus. They followed Jesus, these apostles. I said, and every one of them was willing to lay down their life and laid their life down for the testimony of the cross. I said, do you think those 12 men who were willing to die because of the gospel message and the gospel truth would have been willing to do so for a lie? And we had been talking about Star Wars and the Star Wars characters. I said, would you lay that? Would you be willing to die for one of these make-believe Star Wars characters? And I could see you could see it, couldn't you? The gears were just starting to turn. And some other things that we told her. These men laid down their lives. These men died, and all they had to do, those martyrs who have died through the ages, all they've had to do was renounce Christ. But they wouldn't do it. Why? Because it's a real message. He's a real God. And he's promised eternal life to those who really believe. And he died and he was rose again so that we can know that he has power over death, hell, and the grave. And praise God, one day he's coming back. And then verse 6, after that was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. 500 at one time. I want you to know something that's very important. It removes all doubt that maybe they were in a room where they were overcome by a noxious gas and they were hallucinating or something. Maybe they were smoking something. A few of them had been smoking something that brought some hallucinations about. Maybe they had fasted so long that they had eaten so long that they had seen this hallucination. Well, 500 at one time removes all of those hypotheses. Amen. Amen. It removes any doubt. It removes anything that anyone tries to claim. The Bible says over in Acts, not only did he show himself, but he made it sure. Acts 1:3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Well, although he could walk through the wall, he ate with them. Amen? Although he could walk through the wall, praise God, he cooked with them. Amen? Although he could walk through the wall, praise God, you could reach out and you could touch him. Amen? I tell you what, there are many infallible proofs. The thing about Jesus is everything about him is remarkable. Everything about him, I love this when I read this. Peter Larson said the life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Amen. Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entrance, and he left through a door marked no exit. And praise God, I'm glad today that I can tell you that I know he lives. I know he's risen. I know he's real because he lives in my heart, and he ministers to me. He speaks to me. He's sweet. He's sweeter than anything that the world could ever give me. Amen. And I love him. Amen. We have a gospel message, a preeminent message. We have a powerful witness from the Word of God to those men and women that seen God does resurrection. You know, I was reading it down there in that when he appeared to the 12. Some of those things we overlook and some things we don't catch. Automatically, you think of the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. There weren't 12 there when he appeared. Who were the other two? Huh? Thomas was missing, and Judas, there you go. Judas had done committed suicide. Thomas was missing. Who were the other two? Mary and Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, the two women who went to the tomb and came back and told the disciples. Amen. So you see, it isn't just all about the men. It's about the women that seen him too. It isn't all about the men who bore witness. It's about the women who. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Hey, man, little things that just caught me when I was going through there. Who are the 12? Amen. But if you go back and read who was there, it makes sense. Amen. And then we have a personal testimony. My testimony is I sit and listen in a little Baptist church as a dear old sainted man of God preached about Jesus. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Tuesday night at our midweek service, he preached about the sweetness of Jesus. He preached about the goodness of Jesus. He preached about the salvation that Jesus had to offer. And many times, I rejected it. And I rejected it. And I rejected it. But one night, I couldn't reject it any longer. And one night, I asked Jesus into my heart. I asked Jesus into my life. I didn't deserve Jesus. I didn't deserve him one little bit. I didn't deserve Jesus because I had done nothing good and I could do nothing good enough that would make me deserve Jesus. But praise God, he saved me. Paul said in verse number 11, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But the grace of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am." I'm thankful this morning for that testimony. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, there's been a change. By the grace of God, there's an evident change. By the grace of God, there's an effectual change. By the grace of God, there's a change so remarkable that the world can't explain it. The world can't deny it. The world can't take it away. Praise God. I'm glad for the change. I'm glad for some of the testimonies that I've heard. I'm glad, Brother Rodney Lively told me one time of a guy that was so mean and he was just so wicked that nobody ever thought that he would get saved. And everybody said, there is no way that man will ever get saved. He's just too mean. He's just too contrary. He's just too everything against what God would have him to do and have him to be to get saved. He will never get saved. Rodney said when that man got saved, it was like somebody flipped a switch. His life turned plumb around. And he said, nobody could believe that was the same man. When the folks from the city of Gadara came out to see the madman who had wandered among the tombs in chains and fetters, the madman who no man could constrain, the madman who could break the very bonds that they would put upon him, in his right mind, with his clothes on, and sitting there acting like he was normal, the rude dude in the nude in a really bad mood had a change of heart and had a change of life. He was now sweet. He was now amiable. He was now dressed. And he was now listening to the Savior. Amen. That's what a difference Jesus can make. And that's what Jesus can do in your life. That's what Paul said happened to him. Paul said, I persecuted the church of God. Paul would round up Christians, take them to prison. Paul would round up Christians and have them condemned to death. Paul was injurious to the church. Paul was a persecutor of the church. But he said, because Jesus saved me, now I am what I am. What is he now? He's probably the greatest preacher outside of Jesus that ever preached the gospel of Christ. And you know what his greatest message was? What Jesus had done for him. Amen. Amen. What Jesus had done in his life. He said, I am what I am. By his grace. And he said, his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Don't believe me, because I tell you so. Believe me because the Scripture says so. Yeah. Amen. Go search it out for yourself. Go look, see what the Scripture says. Don't believe me just because I told you so. But look in churches, and you know, most people wouldn't want you to know. But you can go to churches, and you can find women who used to be prostitutes right outside of the churches in the inner cities. I've heard that testimony. Heard preachers tell. Had a woman of the church went and witnessed a prostitute that used to walk the corner right outside of their church. And she came to a meeting. And she heard the gospel message. And she got saved. He said, and you'd never know that woman was the same woman who used to walk the streets and ply her body for money. Hear testimonies of drug addicts and drunkards who'd got saved. One of my favorite stories of all time I heard on James Dodson's Focus on the Family was a man by the name of Dwayne Ballou. And to hear him describe himself, he had to be related to George and John. He had a big old beard. Had to be related. Ornery's all get out, so I know he had to be related. Amen. Amen. And he said they kept inviting him to come to this church, He was a biker, lived in a bus, done drugs, just contrary. Nobody bothered him because everybody thought he was so ill and contrary. And he said, I got so tired of them coming and inviting me to come to church, I figured I'm going to go down there and I'm just going to show them what it is to have me in their church. He said, they won't bother me no more. He said, I picked out the old nastiest pair of pants I had, all stained up and smelly and dirty. He said, I picked the old nastiest shirt I had, old shirt had holes in it, my belly was sticking out, and he said, just stained all over the place. He said, I had food in my beard and I just looked as nasty as I could be. Smelled as bad as I could be. And he said, I went down to their church, to their revival meeting. He said, I walked in that place. He said, some little old blue-haired lady seen me walk in the door and I seen her just fix her eyes on me. And she came back and she poked that little finger up and I was just waiting on her to give me what for. And he said, she said, so glad to have you here. So glad that you can make it. Thank you for coming. He said, and she got me plumb off guard. Man, he said, I got saved.
Amen.
That night. See, the witness is still there. The witnesses are still abundant. And there's still a great cloud of witnesses. But I can't tell you what happened in Brother Steve's life. I can't tell you what happened in Brother Jim's life. But I can tell you what happened in my life. I was a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner, deserved to be in hell, but Jesus saved me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that I know. And that I can tell you with complete assurance and complete confidence. Jesus saved me. Jesus changed me. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Don't let the world dissuade you. Don't let the world discourage you. Don't let the world turn you around. Keep a going for Jesus. Keep a standing for Jesus. Keep a living for Jesus and keep a looking for Jesus because he's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song.